Well, as we get into the Word of the Lord, guys, go ahead and open your Bibles if you have them with you tonight. You should bring them. If you can't bring a Bible to church, how are you going to bring a Bible anywhere else? Right? I mean, of all places to bring your Bible, you should bring it to church. So, any amens on that one, or is it kind of quiet over here? I don't know. I don't hear any faith. Like, Pastor Luke, I'll amen you next week when I have my Bible in my hand. That's what I'll do. Well, listen, if you didn't bring your Bible, we'll have some of the scriptures up on the overhead so you can follow along, because it's our desire that you get the Word. We don't come in here to speak idly so that it bounces off the back wall so that I could hear my own voice, but we come so that we could be built up, so we could be strengthened. And I encourage you to write down some things tonight. Take it with you. We're going to get into a very important subject. And although we're going to conclude tonight with the titled series connected to the vine, we will probably continue for the next couple of weeks speaking on this subject that we're going to talk about tonight. And I believe that we're going to have something special in the conclusion of that as well. So if you've got your Bibles, let's turn to John 15 chapter. We're going to actually take a step backwards. If you recall, we were in verse number 8 last week, but due to the limited amount of time because of Fiesta, thank you. I don't know what you're saying to me. Fiesta, I was trying to think barbecue in my head. He's saying something else. He's on another page. Anyways, tonight, John 15, verse number 7. And man, I'm going to tell you, this is some crazy stuff we're going to get into tonight. And I believe that this is something that we all of us, doesn't matter where you are in your walk with God, we're going to deal with tonight. Number 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done to you. Now this verse pertains to the subject of prayer. Doesn't matter where you are in your walk with God. It doesn't matter if you're advanced in your walk with God, many years under your belt and being connected to the vine. It doesn't matter if you just made the decision today. Prayer is something that each and every one of us on any level will encounter and should encounter on a daily basis with God. It's our form of communication. It's the way we speak and interact and connect to God. So prayer is such an important thing. And here, Jesus Christ, as he's walking through the vineyard with his disciples, he refers to this statement in verse number 7. In verse number 8, he says, if you abide in me and my words in you, you shall ask what you desire and it shall be done to you. I love verse number 8, follows right in on that subject. Remember, we talked about glorifying God. He says that by this, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit so that you will be my disciples. So tonight we're going to talk about the subject of prayer. But before we get into the message tonight, I was looking through and I found this video illustration of prayer and the different types of prayers. And I really, as I was watching it and I was looking at it, I really connected with it. I really could relate to this video. And I think some of you guys may as well. So if you guys would just draw your attention to the screen, we got a little quick video for you to check out.
My prayer life is vibrant and it's active daily. I like to commune with God at nighttime. I get under those warm covers and I kiss my wife goodnight. Then I just start talking to God, just me and God, tell him everything. Makes me just sleepy just thinking about it. And there I am, just laying in bed, laying out my request to him, and he's hearing me, and I know that I'm in good company with him. Where was I?
The efficiency of one's prayers are directly congruent to the position of one's body. Therefore, the legs should be saying, God, help me. Amen.
There are times that me and God do not talk, and that is not God's fault. That is mine. I just get so busy. And so when I do end up talking to God, I really just try to impress him, give him a show, just to show him how much I love him. So excuse me, will you, as I pray to God. Oh, Heavenly Father, beseech me not unto thee. How now? Brown cow, oh, thy soul is so dry, and if I can just catch a morsel of who you are, so verily, merrily, down the stream. God, I just want to be used by you. God, I want,
I want to be salt and light and light and salt and sight and light and peppers and oregano and pepperoni and black olives and those little bit.
When I like to get my prayer on, there's some things I keep in mind. I think it's totally awesome that God is like Santa Claus, and he wants to give you the things that you want. Therefore, you need to keep lists of things. My list currently has 745 prayer requests on them. So then when I go to the Lord in prayer, it looks a little something like this. I'll just pray real quick. Let's see. The uno thing on my list is my mom, and so I'll pray for her now. Dear Heavenly Father, I lift up this sweet salt of the earth lady that you have blessed me with to be my mother. And I tell you thank you. And although I know that I'm called to respect her, and I give her all due respect, there's also an issue of something she truly needs, and that is to stop a yapping. Lord, she yaps, and she doesn't know how to stop yapping. So could you please make her mute just for a day? Nothing permanent. Don't hurt her. I love her. Just mute her. Take your big God remote and push mute on her channel. That would be great. Henceforth, I would go on and pray all 746 things.
God, you are greater than anything this world has to offer. And I can't wait for you to come back and get us. But until that time comes, would you help me just to live my life day after day as if I'm just walking hand in hand with you? God, I have a lot of needs, and I have a lot of wants, and sometimes I get those things confused. Help me to just trust you to meet my needs and be thankful when you give me those other things that I just want. God, I have blown it so many times today, and I'm sorry. Thank you for your forgiveness. I don't take it for granted. And God, as I start this day out, I'm just reminded that this world is filled with so many spiritual potholes. Please help me to walk in such a way where I won't stumble so much. And as I'm going through this day, God, help me to live my life in such a way that would bring you glory and honor. May the life that I live be a life of worship to you. Amen.
Sometimes in life, our prayers may not be the model prayer that he, you know, had a modern-day interpretation of at the end of that video, you know, in Matthew, the sixth chapter. Sometimes our prayers are a little bit more on the selfish side. Sometimes our prayers are based on the emotion of the moment, on the urgency of the situation. And oftentimes our prayers seem like they may fall on deaf ears. They may be answered mightily and quickly. And sometimes it seems that there is a timeline that we don't understand. But the bottom line is that each and every one of us have a calling, have a demand, have a responsibility to pray. I mean, if you think about any relationship without communication, there is no relationship. It's just a facade. It's just two people. If I, with my lovely wife, never said anything to her, I could gaze into her eyes and I could look and I could flutter my eyes at her and all sorts of things. But if I never communicated, if I never said anything to her, if I never spoke to her, if I never engaged in conversation with her, told her my feelings, asked her feelings, what type of relationship would I have? And so many times it seems in our lives, in our walks with God, we forget the most important relationship in our life. The one that matters above all, the one that matters more than my relationship with my wife, the one that matters more than my relationship with my friends or what else goes on. The most important relationship we could ever have, each and every one of us, sometimes we neglect it. Sometimes we forget about it. Sometimes we treat it as common. So tonight we're going to talk about prayer, and I think over the next couple of weeks we're just going to address some, not necessarily issues, but just some topics in prayer, because, you know, if there's one thing that each and every one of us are called to do and required to do and need to do, is to pray. And Jesus gives us a model prayer in which we'll go over, but not tonight. But there's different steps to prayer, but I really am excited as I read in John the 15th chapter. After seeing that video, it's kind of fun to look at this verse again. John the 15th chapter, verse number 7. If you abide in me and my words in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. So tonight we're going to talk about the subject of prayer connected to the vine. So prayer connected to the vine in the sense that all throughout the Bible, all throughout the New Testament, throughout the Old Testament, we see examples of prayer. We see people's prayer. We see the psalmist David in Psalms 119 chapter, you know, the examples of prayer. We see Jesus in Matthew the 6th chapter give us the model prayer, as we call it. So we hear all about prayer all throughout. In Thessalonians, we hear the term Paul writes to the church and says to pray without ceasing. So we hear all about this stuff. So tonight I want to talk about prayer connected to the vine. As we have spent these 11 weeks now talking about being connected to the vine, even though you may not have been here for all 11 sessions, you may not have been here for every one of those messages, and you may have forgotten the beginnings of them, it doesn't matter, because at this point I would hope to know that we have a basic understanding that we are called as Christians, as members of the vine, to abide in that vine, to stay connected, to be a part of, to not remove ourselves from that vine. And if you recall in verse number 8, it says, by this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit. So as members of the vine, connected to the vine, Jesus Christ being that true vine, it is our calling as members of that vine, as branches, as shoots, to bear fruit, so that our identity might be seen, so that God might be glorified. So tonight, looking at John the 15th chapter, I've got three things out of this verse towards prayer connected to the vine. Tonight, you guys ready to get into it? Number one, prayer connected to the vine. You must be connected to the vine. Yeah, wow. It's pretty insightful, Pastor Luke. Prayer connected to the vine. Number one, you must be connected to the vine. I mean, how can you not remember that one, right? We're talking about prayer connected to the vine. So point number one, if you remember any points, remember this. I'm going to say that about all three of them. But remember this point as we speak about it tonight. Number one tonight, you must be connected to the vine. Now let's go look at John the 15th chapter yet once again as we talk about this. John 15, verse 7, the first five words. If you abide in me. Now, I don't know, church, if you understand, young adults, I don't know if you get this. People, grab a hold of this tonight. John 15, verse 7, starts off with the biggest two-letter word in the Bible. You get it? If. If. What is if? If is a conditional statement. If. Right? We all understand what if means. It's that two-letter word. Sometimes we don't want to hear it. We want to pretend it doesn't exist. We've all faced those if moments. Jesus comes and he says, if. Now, here's an interesting thought. We're going to continue on in this in 15 chapter, verse number 7. Jesus changes the wordings of his teachings just a little bit. And Jesus tells us, abide in me and I in you, abide in me and I in you. If you abide in me, you bear much fruit. Now he says, if you abide in me, speaking of prayer, speaking, going on to the latter part of the verse, ask the Father what you desire and you'll have it. If you abide in me. So many times in our walks with God, we talk about prayer, we go to prayer, we go to God without that conditional statement. Abiding in the vine does not mean, church, that we just stand by. It doesn't mean that we come on a Friday night. It doesn't mean that we come on a Saturday. It doesn't mean that we come, you know, on a Wednesday night. It doesn't mean that we crack open our Bibles once every 6 months. It doesn't mean that we have a token prayer right before we go to bed and we fall asleep in the middle of our prayer. It doesn't mean that we write out a list. Remember, if we talked about this, we've hammered this into you. We have shoved it down. Abiding in the vine is not just the matter of being here. It's not just a matter of being next to something. It's not just a matter. It's a matter of you being physically connected. There is no separation. There is no physical way to remove it. My arm abides in my body. It cannot come off. It cannot decide to go amongst itself. It cannot separate itself. It can't branch out and say, I'm going to have my own little thing going on, and my fingers are going to walk around like the hand, or what was it called? The it? What was it called? Is it? The thing? What was it? Yeah. The thing? There it is. We abide in our bodies. Our body parts, our members abide in us. And just as our body members and our parts abide in us, we are abiding in the body of Christ. So, as we talked last week about glorifying God, about keeping ourselves holy, it is our responsibility, church, as we go before the Lord, as we petition God and we present to Him our needs, our desires, our wants, our wills, our wishes. It is our responsibility, it is our duty to abide in the vine. There's some pressure there. There's some pressure there when you read that. There's a lot of implications when you look at the conditional statement of if followed by you abide in me. The implications are, if you do not abide in me, the opposite happens. So here we read, Jesus says, if you abide in me, my words in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Therefore, you can interpret that. If you do not abide in me, my words not in you, then you can ask what you desire and it won't be done for you. There's a lot of pressure to abide in the vine so that we might go before the throne of grace. We might present our wants, our needs, our wills, our desires, our hopes, our wishes, our thoughts to God, so that they might be provided. Why? So verse number 8 says that God might be glorified. We might bear much fruit. It brings God glory to bless us. It brings God glory to give those things that we desire to us if we abide in Him. This is some deep stuff. Right off the bat, we jumped off the edge. 1 John, the third chapter. If you got your Bibles, let's turn there. 1 John, the third chapter, towards the end of the Bible. It's quiet in here tonight. I hear an echo. 1 John 3. You can keep your ribbon or your finger in 1 John because we're going to go there a little bit later as well. 1 John, third chapter. I'm going to read verse number 21. Verse number 22 will be up on the overhead. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence towards God. If our heart does not condemn us, if we have no condemnation, if we have no remorse, if we are living just and holy, like we talked about, keeping ourselves holy to God, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence towards God. Verse number 22, and whatever we ask, we receive from Him. Why? Because we keep His commandments and we do those things that are pleasing in His sight. In keeping His commandments and doing those things that are pleasing to His sight, remember we talked about abiding in Christ and the fruit that comes from abiding. When you abide in Christ, when you become a member of the vine, when you are a shoot and the fruit you bear abides in Christ and it is evident that you are a follower of Christ, all of a sudden, verse number 22, our actions become this very thing, that we keep His commandments and we do those things that are pleasing in His sight. That is called fruit. When you abide in Christ, you will have fruit. It brings God glory that we might bear much fruit. So if we bear fruit, therefore it says, we might ask and receive, but we have, church, to abide. I recall back in the day, you guys remember back in those days when you had homework. Some of you guys are still in college and you say, I still have homework, Pastor Luke, more so than ever. I recall back in the days when I had homework, and I think back probably more towards the elementary days of my life when I would come home and DuckTales and Tailspin and Chip and Dale, Rescue Rangers would be on, and the Bonanza and those other types of movies would be on. And I remember I'd come home and I'd run from the bus to home and turn on the TV, and my mom would look at me and say, do you have homework tonight? No, I don't got no homework. Do you remember that? My parents had a rule to me. If you don't do your homework, you don't get to watch TV. It didn't end there. If you don't do your homework, not only do you not get to go watch TV, you don't get to go out and play. You don't get to go out and do those things that you like to do. You have got to do what has been asked of you. You have got to do what has been required of you. You've got to do what is your responsibility to do in order for you to enjoy the things of your life. Therefore, we look at God. We look at our relationship with God. And oftentimes, we go before the Lord, and we are not abiding. We go before the Lord, and we're not right. We go before the Lord, and our hearts and our thoughts aren't towards what God has. We have not been bearing good fruit, let's say. We go before the Lord. And why then would God answer our prayers? Why then would God give the desires of our hearts if we are not in the right place? Just like my parents wouldn't allow me to have the things that I wanted to do if I was not in the right place. Why? Because that was rewarding to bad behavior. And God says, as a father who loves his children, as we read in John 15, verse number 1, he brings us up, he pulls us up. And he'll bring us to that place that we are in a good spot so that we would bear much fruit. Therefore, we could have the desires of our heart. But it all starts, church, number one, in being connected to the vine. Abiding in the vine is about abiding in the body. It's about being a part, but not just taking part of it, not just claiming to be of that group, of that crew, but to living it day in and day out. Are you guys with me tonight? Number two tonight, in John the 15th chapter, verse number 7, we're talking about prayer connected to the vine. This one is a good one. If you're going to leave tonight with one point, remember this point. Now remember, I said that about first point as well. So I'm going to say that about the second point as well. Tonight, this is important, and we're going to get into it. This is a deep one. Prayer must align to the Word. Prayer must align to the Word. In John, the 15th chapter, verse number 7, I want to point out something to you dynamic. Something to you that is just amazing that you could skip over, you could read it, and never notice it. As a matter of fact, if you've got your Bibles, let's turn back to John, the 15th chapter, because I want you to see this. It's not going to be on the overhead. John 15, 7. If you abide in me, then my words abide in you. Does anybody notice anything different? Well, let's go to verse number 3. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Verse number 4. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I in the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anybody does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withdrawn and is withered, and they gather and throw, and they are burned. Verse number 7, he changes the wording. Jesus changes the wording. Here he's been teaching, abide in me and I, Jesus, in you. And all of a sudden, verse number 7, we may pass over it, we may not even notice it, we may not even see it, but all of a sudden, verse number 7, he changes the verbiage, he changes the word, and he says, abide in me and my words in you. We can read over that in verse John, or in that seventh chapter, we can read over that statement, and we can automatically tune it into what we think he just said. How many of you guys have ever read something, or ever seen something, or ever done something that you read it, and you didn't even read it, but your mind kind of got it? You saw what you wanted to see, or you saw what you thought you could see. I just did that. I made a reservation for a campsite a week earlier, and the whole time I kept looking at the reservation seat, I was looking at the date that I thought I reserved it for, until I found out that as I got to the campsite, that reservation was actually a week later, and I didn't have a reservation. We see oftentimes things that we want to see, what our mind says. So we can skip over this, but this is an important and a critical part when it comes to prayer and when Jesus is saying about abiding in the vine, being connected to the vine. He says, first of all, when you abide in me, then he comes along and he says, in my words, in you. Not just Jesus. Not just Jesus dwelling within us, but now his words abide in us. His teachings, his sayings, his thoughts. Because the Bible tells us that in the beginning there was the Word. The Word was made flesh. So yes, the two are the same. Through God, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the Scriptures were penned, were written by various authors through centuries. But the words of Jesus, through him abiding in us, will come through us. And our prayers have to align to the Word of God. Pastor Joey used that example. That Pastor Jim used the example. Does that make sense? Pastor Joe used the example of Pastor Jim's example, and I'll use that example tonight. that a lady came to Pastor Jim and she said, I believe that my husband's in this room. I've been praying and I've been really standing in faith that I'm going to marry this man. And Pastor Jim looked at the lady and said, oh, that's great. Who is he? And she pointed over to the man across the building and she said, that man right there is going to be my husband. I prayed for it. I believe it. I believe that's what God told me. Pastor Jim looked at the lady with this disdain in his eyes, kind of like, are you serious? And he looked down to this lady and said, that man is married. You cannot pray that a married man become your husband. Where do you find that in the Bible? Just like we saw in that video. Lord, I love my mom. Oh, I pray that I'm so glad that, you know, she's a salt of the earth type woman. But could you cause her to be mute for a day? I even heard a couple of claps like, yeah, yeah. The bottom line is when his words abide in us, then all of a sudden we begin to pray what we desire, which is his word. Do you see the cycle in there? Jesus says that if you come to me, you pray, you approach the throne of grace, you approach the heavenly Father, you approach the high priest seated on the throne with your petitions, with your desires. He says, listen, verse number 7, your desires best be lining up with the word of God, because there was that statement in the beginning of verse number 7, that big word, right? If. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. Our prayers, church, our prayers, young adults, have got to line up with the word of God. We could pray all day long that so-and-so, you know, gets sick, or I get $1 million, or Lord, let me win the lotto. I want that Ferrari, God. That's the desire of my heart. We can pray all we want, but our prayers, our words, our thoughts have got to line up with the word of God. Are you guys with me tonight? In 1 John, I told you you can keep your thumb there, the 5th chapter. I didn't keep my thumb there because I'm walking around and I don't have a ribbon in my Bible. It's my ghetto Bible tonight. This is my good Bible, but it's my ghetto Bible. Seen some better days. See, it's got duct tape. And it's broken right there, see? See that? See that? It's good, though. It's my Bible. It's still the same. It's the first edition. 1 John, the 5th chapter. All the pastors envy this Bible, man. I'm telling you. I stole it from my mom. Anyway, 1 John, the 15th chapter. Confessions of a Pastor, right? All right, there you go. In the middle of the verse. 1 John, chapter 5, verse number 14. Now this is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know he hears us, whatever we ask, we have. We know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. That's verse number 15. Prayer is agreeing with God's will. Here's the check. Here's the whip. Here's the crack, the welt, the bruise, the prick, whatever it might be. Check yourself on this, because I'm guilty of it. I'll tell you that right off the bat. Sometimes we've come before the Lord. We've gone before the Lord in prayer. And our prayers necessarily have not been in agreement to God's will, but more so a manipulation to what God has. Oh God, if you're God on the throne, you would do this. Oh God, if you're God, you would come through this. How could you leave me like this? How could you not answer me? God, I need this. You're not real if I can't see this. Church, let me tell you something. God is God. God is the creator of the universe. He's the beginning. He's the end. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. He's the first. He's the last. He was there to create the universe, the stars in the sky, the earth, you and I, from dirt. And I love how one author wrote that God, where did I put it? God did not hire mankind to be a consultant to him. Interesting thought here. God did not hire mankind to be a consultant to him. And the thought is that mankind, it is not our job. Church, it is not yours and my responsibility to tell God what he is and what he isn't supposed to do. It is not our responsibility to tell God what we need based on our lives. Because God is the beginning. God is the end. God is, there is none before, there is none after. God is God. So many times we go before the Lord in prayer and we pray what we want. And we try to force our will upon God's and call it God's will. I recall a movie, Pastor Joey and I enjoyed this movie in our college years. We probably watched it like every other day. It's about the Crusades. And these guys, you know, as they go into Israel and Jerusalem and the Middle East, and they're at war with the Muslims, and they're all religious, and there's different sectors, or what are they called? Sects, right? Of groups like the Templists, or the Templars, and then the whatever, so forth and so on. So they're all standing there, and they're arguing, and some guy says something, and one guy goes, "God wills it!" And everybody else, "God wills it, God wills it, God wills it, God wills it." And then they go, "Ah, no, 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 no," right? Like, they would basically say that that's the will of God because they said it. And you know, sometimes in our prayers, sometimes in our walk with God, we say, "God, it's your will that I be blessed. It's your will. So, Lord, let me win the lotto. Can I get that $1 million? Your word says in John 15:7, that if I ask the desires of my heart, he would grant it to me. Lord, the desires of my heart is that I might have $1 million cash. I'll wait upon you." But the true and sombering fact of the matter is that our prayers are to line up with God's will. Our prayers are to be what God says. And Jesus says, if you abide in me, connected to the vine. So first off the bat right there, we see that we are abiding in Jesus. Therefore, we are no longer who we once were. We are no longer the people that we once were. Our desires of the flesh, our needs of this body, our needs of the world, our needs according to wants, are no longer what they once were. Because now, remember, we talked about Jesus Christ being the true vine, God being the vine dresser, us being parts of the vine. God is everything that we need. Need versus want. We saw that in the video. And when we pray and we go before the Lord, having an understanding that we are members of that vine, now all of a sudden we have this greater understanding in our walks with God that we have everything we need as long as we abide in the vine. Therefore, when we ask God, it is according to what he has given us. Then we see that Jesus comes and says, "And my words in you, my words in you." Now all of a sudden, when we begin to pray, the desires of our heart aren't just because of what we say, aren't because of what we want, aren't because of what we will, our wants and our needs. They're two separate categories, but when we pray, when we approach God, the desires of our heart are reflected upon Jesus Christ's words in our heart. In Matthew, the 6th chapter, Jesus tells us the model prayer. And as they did that modern interpretation of it in the video, you see that he says, "Give us this day our daily bread." Our wants versus our needs. Does that mean, Pastor Luke, that I can't go before the Lord and pray for the things that I want, pray for the things that I desire, pray for the things that I'd like to have? Absolutely not. It does not mean that. It means that you can go before the Lord and you can ask the things that you want, but let them be according to God's will. Don't be praying that some guy over there who's married is going to be your husband, because I'll tell you what, right there, your prayer is not going to happen. We'll read about that. We'll see that scripturally in just a second. But let your prayers be lined up according to the will of God. I remember I was speaking to somebody after a service, and I was telling them personally. I learned this especially in Bible college, learning faith when I was in Oklahoma. I learned that one of the most effective ways for me to align up with John the 15th chapter, verse number 7, and Jesus Christ saying, "Let my words abide in you," was this. You guys ready for it? To pray Scripture. Wow. Wait a minute. Pastor Luke, you say, yeah, that's right. I open up the verse. Whenever I got something I need to go before the Lord in, I begin to read that scripture, and I turn the yous and the yours and the theirs and the thys and whatever it might be to first-hand person, and I begin to pray that scripture over myself. What am I doing? I am ensuring in my heart that I am praying in the words of God abide in me. And I'm not going to manipulate Scripture so that it might say something that I might want it to say, but I'm going to believe wholeheartedly. There's been times in my life, I tell it's like the staple verse of my life right now, James the 1st chapter. When we're all going through that time of learning, of discovering, and trying to figure out who it is that we are, the careers that we're going to take, the decisions that we're going to make. I've got a son, holy cow, every day is something new, and I need wisdom. So the Bible tells me that if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask. And he goes on to say that God would give to us liberally and without reproach. But we have to ask in faith, knowing that God would give it to us. Because if we waver in our faith, ain't going to happen. And I begin to pray that scripture over my life. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus that your word says that if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask. Father, I stand in faith and I need wisdom. Father, I need guidance in this situation. And I begin to pray the words of God over my life, over my situation. And Jesus says, when you abide in me and my words in you, then all of a sudden your prayers become effective. Why is that? Because now all of a sudden we are praying the will of God. We are praying the word of God. You know, you might say, I don't know what the will of God is in my life. Read the word. You want to know what the will of God is? Read the word. You want to know what the will of God is in your situation? Read the word of God. You'll find it. Everything you need to know about God's will is right here. There's all sorts of discussions. There's all sorts of different things that you can find out. You can dig up, grab a Bible study, a study Bible, grab a concordance, and start looking up what the Bible says about your situation, what the Bible says about your faith, what the Bible says about your finances, what the Bible says about your love, what the Bible says about your life, what the Bible says about your education, what the Bible says about this world, what the Bible says about society. And you'll find what God's Word says. And when you line your prayers up with God's word, his words abide in you. And you begin to pray and speak those scriptures over yourself. I'll tell you what, all of a sudden, your life becomes impactful. Something else about it. David says in Psalms 119, God, your word I have hid it in my heart. Why? That I might not sin against you. When we bring, when we study, when we abide, when we digest, and when we bring in the word of God, and we keep it into our heart, like the psalmist says, and we hide it in our heart. The Bible tells us that where our treasure is, our heart is also. The Bible tells us that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So whatever it is about, the psalmist says, God, your word I've put in my heart. Why? So that it might come back out, so that I might not sin against you. Start saying memory verses. Start looking at something over your life and start speaking it over your life each and every day. Memorize that verse. Add it to your prayer. God loves it when you tell him his words back. Jesus said that right there in John the 15th chapter, verse number 7. Speak the word of God and let his words abide in you. Are you guys with me tonight? Got one more tonight. Prayer is about the heart. Prayer is about the heart. You know, I thought that was funny the third time I saw that video today. And I didn't get it till right now. I was sitting there and I was thinking, oh, I get it. It was called, it started with an R. I can't remember the word. What was it in the video? Does anybody remember what that word was? When he had the frilly shirt and he was using the Victorian. Why did I say it started with an R? The Victorian. I was thinking about that. Oh, yeah, thank you. The Renaissance. That's what I was thinking of. You know, he was like the Shakespearean, the actor. He was going over and above. You know, he was exuberant in his actions. And you know, I'll tell you this. There have been times when I've prayed and I've tried to have my words be, you know, well thought. And people say, wow, he prayed really good. And there have been times when you've stood next to somebody and they may say God. They may say Father God. They may say Jesus. They may say hallelujah. They may say those filler words. And every time they say it, you might be like, You know what the bottom line is, though? It's not about what's really coming out of your mouth. It's about what's coming out of your heart. And that's what boils down to. God's not over there with the spell checker during your prayers. He's not there marking off for grammatical errors when you pray to him. People say, you know, I'm not worthy to approach God. I'm not worthy to speak to God. Address God. It's about the heart. It's about the heart. It's not about the words we speak. It's not about the things that we say. It's not about saying the right words, the abracadabra, the magical formula, and therefore we might get our desires and our wishes. It's about what's in our heart. Church, the sooner we realize that it's about our heart in all things, the better we are. Not only is prayer about our heart, but our life's about the heart. Our walk with God's about our heart. The actions of our life's about the heart. But it's about what's inside. It's about what we put in there. Out of the heart, the Bible says, to spring the issues of life. Prayer is about the heart. And John says in verse number 7, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Your desires when abiding in the vine are God's desires for you, because it's about the heart. When you abide in the vine, you understand that God is everything that you need. Give us this day our daily bread. When you abide in the vine, you understand that you are no longer the person that you need. You are not identified by the money. You are not identified by the possessions. You are not identified by the social titles, by the economic or the education. You're not identified by the Bachelor of Science, by the Masters of Science, by the Masters of Business. You're not identified by the Associate of Arts. You're not identified by that. You're identified by the fruit of your vine and abiding in Jesus Christ. The desires of your heart align with the words of God, he says. When you begin to abide and you sow in, what you put in is what you're going to get out. What you feed your spirit, what you feed your soul is what you're going to get out of it. And so as you begin to feed your soul and you begin to feed your spirit, the word of God, the words of Jesus, the teachings of God, what the New Testament says, what the Old Testament says, the experiences of those who have made it and failed, the experiences of those who have made it and succeeded. And all of a sudden you begin to put that into your light. All of a sudden the issues of your heart begin to align with the word of God like we just saw. And Jesus' words abide in us. I love what David says. I just said it. Your word, I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. You know what's amazing? Is when I talk, when I preach, when I speak to people, I don't have verses. Half of those verses aren't even on my notes. But all of a sudden, because the word of God is in my heart, they start coming up. When you start talking to people, you can see their fruit. They start quoting the scriptures. Man, Michael Espinosa started praying. All of a sudden, he started ripping out them scriptures. I was like, dang. He pulled it off. Why? Because of the abundance of the heart. He put that word in his heart. Now, all of a sudden, now it's coming back out. We're speaking the words of God. Our prayers are aligning to the words of God. So now our desires have been transformed to where we once might say that all I care about is that $1 million. All I care about is that girl. All I care about is this possession. All I care about is this worldly thing. All I care about is that people would stop making fun of me. All I care about is how people would think of me. And we begin to see, God, give us this day our daily bread, because all I need is you. And the desires of my heart, truly, if I'm aligned with God, woo, check yourself, is God. What else could we need? The Bible says that if God be for us, who could be against us? Our desires of our heart are not relying upon possessions, not relying upon material things, not relying upon what people say or the people around us. I love my wife, I love my son, but if I don't have God, I've got nothing. And our desires of our heart would truly, if we abide in the vine, talking about prayer connected to the vine, if we abide in the vine and he in us, are we in him and his words in us? Now all of a sudden the desires of our heart change from what they once were, based on the world, based on society, based on materials, to now the things of the world. God, I pray that your kingdom come, your will be done. Lord, I pray that the laborers be sent across the harvest. Father, I thank you that we could lay hands on the sick and they would be healed and they would recover. And we begin to line up with the things that God has for us and speak the words that God has. Are you guys with me tonight? But it starts with our hearts. Matthew, the 6th chapter, verse number 7. I'll just pop this up on the overhead. Jesus speaking. Right after this, he goes into the model prayer. And he says, when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them. Why? Because the bottom line is your Father knows the things that you have need of before you even ask. God knows your heart. God knows your life. God knows what's going on. And God knows what you need before you even ask, before you even go and petition. So it's not about the words. It's not about going through the streets and shouting and praying so that all can hear. But it's about the heart. One last verse. James, the 4th chapter, verse number 3. This is the deep one. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Right there. Remember I told you I'd tell you, back that up in scripture. You can't pray that somebody's husband be your husband. You can't pray that somebody's wife be your wife. You ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasure. When you line your life in the word of God, when you abide in the word of God, when his words abide in you, your prayers will line up to the words of God. Your prayers will line up to the wills of God. Like we read in John the 5th chapter, 1 John the 5th chapter, that our prayer is in alignment with God, not a manipulation for us to tell God what he ought to do in our life. God knows, Matthew says in the 6th chapter, what we need before we need of it. But the bottom line is prayer is about the heart. It comes from the heart. And where is our heart supposed to be? Our heart is supposed to be abiding in the vine so that we sow into it, we feed it the words of Christ, that they might come out in our prayers, so that when we ask what we desire, it would be granted to us, that God would be glorified, verse number 8, that what? We could bear much fruit. Tonight, three things in conclusion. If you remember one thing tonight, remember this first point. You must be connected to the vine. In review, if you remember one thing tonight, remember this point. Your prayers must align with the word. And if church, if you remember one thing tonight, remember this point. Prayer is about the heart. It's not about the vain repetitions and the idle babblings. It's about what you pray, and let it be aligned to the word of God, and let your desires be based on what the will of God is for your life. Did you guys get something out of that tonight? Praise God.